Hey there, welcome to the Student to CEO podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Mason. We're talking to entrepreneurs who launched their business at a young age and they're now killing the game. Tune in to our episodes as these guests spill the dirt on taking that leap into entrepreneurship just like they did. Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Student to CEO podcast. I'm so excited to be having Alicia Williams joining us today. Alicia Williams is the co-founder and CEO of Aliste Marketing. She is an award-winning entrepreneur and author whose out-of-the-box creative strategies have helped businesses expand their market reach by effectively using social media. As an accomplished public speaker, she has enlightened and entertained audiences at local and national conferences, as well as on regional radio programs. Her drive and talent has led her to receiving the 2016 Outstanding Women of Family Business Award, being recognized as one of the Worcester Business Journal's 40 Under 40, and being named the Spotlight Entrepreneur for Capital One Spark. Alicia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. Well, I'd love if you could first start off with telling us all about what you do and what led you there.
Yeah, sure. It's a long story, but it doesn't feel that long when you're living it. So I started Aliste Marketing in 2008. Right out of college, I graduated. 2008 was the height of the recession. So I was challenged with competing for marketing job opportunities that many, you know, CMOs and very experienced people had just been laid off from, and they were applying for the same jobs. And so for me, my solution wasn't to kind of, woe is me, but dive into the networking world and figure out how do I do freelance in order to pay bills. And that quickly snowballed into, you know, writing content and blogs and websites for clients. And then social media was just starting out for businesses at that time. So I was able to, you know, really capitalize on how writing and social media can go hand in hand. And then jump ahead a few years. We became a full service boutique marketing agency that works with clients across the country. We have had several international clients, which was an amazing experience and really neat. But right now we're really focused on the local businesses. And our niche is understanding who they are, what they do, and how that resonates with their target audience, and developing marketing programs and then implementing those strategies so that they can really separate themselves from the pack. So it's been a really exciting journey. A lot of pain along the way, a lot of learning along the way that led us to kind of where we are today.
That is awesome. And I know that one thing that you just mentioned was you really focused on networking and also the fact that realizing that writing and social media tie in so well together. So when you started to do more of writing and social media management and stuff like that, did you begin by kind of doing things on your own to build your portfolio, or did you dive right into working with clients? Like, what was your process with getting experience with that?
Yeah, great question. So my background is communications, and within communications, there was PR classes, writing classes, public speaking classes, but nothing specific to marketing, nothing specific to digital marketing, because it wasn't really a thing. And we're talking like 11 years ago. Like it's not, I didn't graduate, 50 years ago. We're talking like 11 years ago. There really wasn't much out there from what we know marketing as today to be. So for me, like the diving into networking, again, that was never taught in school. And I am still really, really close with my college, my professors, and work closely with their, you know, internship programs and their alumni relations, and was very honest with them saying, like, you need to require students to go out and understand what it's like to network. It is the most uncomfortable situation that, you know, I probably ever put myself in, where I was 20, 21, going to these networking events with people three times my age.
Yeah.
I remember having to, you know, get a seltzer with lime because everyone was 21 yet. And I didn't want them to know that. I remember looking at my car, and at the time I had like, you know, a hot little black Eclipse that was perfect for a college kid. But it made me even look younger, and I was trying to always act older so people would trust me that I knew what I was talking about. So there was a lot of like identity part too that I was trying to figure out, let alone like when you're 21, you're trying to figure out who you are anyways.
Right.
Throw yourself in an event where you have to talk and find some type of common ground with people, a lot being men, that were in their 40s or 50s. And then go out to coffee with them by yourself and do one-to-ones. And that was, I remember coming home crying a lot, being like, they're not really listening to me. They're not taking me seriously. And I traded in my car, got my big girl car, started to look the part, talk the part, and was able to land my first client. He was a financial advisor. And I remember it was for $500. And at the time, I thought that was so much money. I had no bills to pay at the time. And I went above and beyond to make this client happy, because he was my first one. And then, that led to another person and another, and it took years. Like, so now we're in our, 12th year, 11th year into this. And it now has been able to say like, nope, you're not a good fit for us. I know what we're really good at. I know who we work really well with. But that took years of learning and working with the wrong type of person to get to where we are today. And I think everyone has to go through that process. I work with a lot of young marketing managers, those that, you know, it's their first job right out of college, and I come in and kind of help them as a consultant. And the main thing that I can never teach them, no one can, they'll learn over time, is confidence. Just confidence in what you know, confidence to say, I don't know that, but I'll figure it out, and confidence to be able to push back a little bit. And as marketers, that is huge, because many times when businesses are struggling through, you know, sales, marketing always is on the chopping block, and to be able to push back and have analytics to defend what you do is huge, and kind of keeping your role important within the company.
Yes. Oh, you just shared so much good advice. And I really want to tie in on the fact that you talked about, that just getting people to take you seriously was a really big struggle, which I think so many people at this age group can really relate to, is just knowing that they have a big mission and vision and huge idea that they want to share, but just getting people to really see that same idea in the same way that they are. So would you say that that was the most difficult part of your journey, or was there something else that you think was a little bit tricky with kind of growing your business at this time?
I would say that was probably the hardest part, because if I had listened to people that said, you know, this is going to be a really hard journey, or you should probably just get a full-time job and do this on the side, maybe I wouldn't be here today. But I surrounded myself with a really strong support system that constantly reminded me to keep doing what I was doing. And it's okay that I only made, you know, 10 grand the first year, because most businesses make nothing the first year. So putting that in perspective was huge, and just surrounding yourself with really good people. The other challenge is just your own worst enemy sometimes. So when you start to believe that you're not good enough, and that you don't know what you're talking about, and that maybe you should get a job in a 9-to-5 like everybody else, that's going to be the deterrent, because you really need to dig deep and have your inner voice say, you can do this, and who cares what everyone else says. And I remember it was like a turning point for me. I probably went to like my 100th networking event. I used to go every night all over the state to these networking events and have boxes of people's business cards when people still gave them out. And I remember saying to myself, you know, they may be in their 50s, but when I'm their age, if I keep hustling and working my ass off, I won't be at a networking event when I'm 50. I'm going to be, you know, running a business and someone else from my team will be networking. It won't be me. And so that was honestly my mantra that I kept going forward with.
I love that. It's kind of like, I look at it as the perspective, and I think that what you basically just hinted at with that is that the younger you start, the more of an opportunity you have to make a bigger impact. I mean, if we start when we're in our 50s, which of course there's no shame in that, but if we start in our 50s, then we have less of a time to continue pushing our vision and continue moving forward. But the younger we start, the more time we have to really build this out to be something really, really incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I work a lot with business owners that did jump into the corporate world and then, you know, later on in life decide they want to do a different journey. And now they are in their 50s and they're starting their own companies. And there's absolutely something to be said for the amount of experience that they have because they spent all of those years prior building their own confidence, learning processes from other people, in order for them to take that to their own business, which is huge. So their learning curve for them is much shorter than somebody coming out of college and having to figure out who they are as a as an adult, let alone as a business owner. They don't have to do that. So there's pluses and minuses to, or obstacles, I guess, that are different for any age that you're starting a business. But being young is something that I think is a lot of times in your head that's a barrier. I know when I work with different contractors for our clients, I look for somebody that has a different perspective, that is on the older side, but then I also have people on my team that are much younger because we have clients that are directly trying to sell to somebody that's in their 20s. So having a different perspective from across different ages is huge for any company. It's just you have to understand who you are and build that confidence and just surround yourself with really, really, really good people.
Yes, definitely. Well, now that we've covered kind of what the most difficult part of starting your business was, what would you say the most rewarding one was?
There has been many wins along the way, but I think the best part for me so far is now that, you know, I invested all of my time into building the business when I was younger. People I met 10 years ago are starting to come through the pipeline today, which is very fun to kind of reconnect and work with them when their business is taken off. But for me, knowing that I have, you know, a young family, my biggest excitement is that I built a business that allows me to have a really good balance, to be able to work and, you know, exemplify my strengths and what I know from a marketing perspective and work with some amazing, amazing business owners, but also be able to, you know, have my personal life and not choose between work and my children's soccer games. For me, that is worth more than anything. So I built a business that is purposely helping other businesses, but it's also giving me the life that I really want. And that's not something that I thought I'd wanted when I was 21. I dreamed of the sexy, you know, Devil Wears Prada lifestyle, you know, the Boston office and 50 to 100 employees and, you know, commuting into the city every day. And like, that's what I wanted. And that's what I strive to grow the business towards. But then I quickly realized that's not me. That's not what I want. I love working one-on-one with companies. So we made the conscious decision to stay a boutique marketing agency, And it's been amazing how many companies come to us from large agencies and they hated how they were treated and now looking for a small boutique team. So it was a good decision for us.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially because what I've seen, of course, also having a small marketing agency is that it's a lot more personal. And so we get to know our clients as you do super closely and end up even building friendships. And I think that there's a bigger human touch with that. And I think that that's something that really helps to stand out. So it definitely sounds like that's what works well out for you too. But I also think it's important that what you mentioned is just kind of the most rewarding part of this is having that time with your family and being able to do what you want when you want. I think that's something that I really think about too, is that when I started my business, what I didn't know was that the biggest thing to me was just having freedom to take a day off or be able to run errands in the middle of the day and not even have to worry about it or being able to schedule doctor's appointments and stuff like that. So I think that's really a really important thing that has come out of it. And it's so awesome to hear that it's been the same for you too.
Yeah. And recently I was talking with the career placement at my old college, and I had said, you know, it's really important that these students understand what it's like to work virtually. Because when I was in school, you had to go into the actual intern office and work within an office setting and in order to get credit. And that's the same. And that's been, you know, over 10 years, it's the same process. And I think now more than ever, we're seeing that businesses have to be able to function virtually. And where I think students and even adults, you know, I see people around me that have no idea how to work on their own. So to be able to work self-starter without a fancy ping pong table and a beer on tap and like the really awesome office settings and the team building stuff and take a break in the middle of the day to go to your doctor's appointment and then, you know, make sure you finish your work later on at night, that is a skill that you have to really work on. And it takes a lot of focus to be able to get what you need done and feel productive and successful and work independently by yourself without talking to, you know, Phil across the cubicle about how his weekend was. So sometimes being an entrepreneur is very lonely. And that's why I actually love, you know, my meetings and my coffee dates with other businesses or other strategic partners, because it gives me an opportunity to like get out of my shell and talk to people. But if you don't know how to work by yourself, it is going to be really hard for you to maintain that productivity level.
Yeah, definitely. Especially because depending too, if you're working from home, I mean, that can be a really big distraction and you may want to be able to just be tempted to go and go to the store for a second or just make that quick run to Target. So as you said, being able to be independent with working and doing your own thing and knowing how to work virtually is so important. But I also want to highlight something you said too, is that when you're taking time off to go to an appointment or do something else, it's not time that's just left and that's it. I mean, we do have to make it up. And that's exactly what you said, making sure that your work gets done at night. And I think that that's something that people kind of tend to have a misconception on when it comes to entrepreneurship, is that they're like, oh, well, you can just take it time off whenever you want. And it's like, okay, I may be able to choose when I take time off. Like for me, I take Fridays off during the summer to go to the beach. But for those 4 days, Monday through Thursday, I'm working extra hours to make up for the time that I would have been working on Friday. And so it's like things like that where people don't necessarily realize that the so-called benefit of entrepreneurship of taking time off whenever actually does come with repercussions. So I love that you highlighted that because it's something important that not many people realize.
No, I mean, I took today off besides talking to you. But yesterday I worked till around 11 o'clock at night to get what I needed done so that I could take today off. And from a business standpoint too, and the entrepreneur, nobody really talks about the stress, the hidden stress. So obviously you have work, but then you have this whole other layer of stress of Are my clients happy? They've been quiet. Why are they quiet? Did they pay me? Did I get my invoices out? How do I approach this conversation of you owe me money? How do I get this new prospect to close? Or where do I get more clients? All of that falls on you. You are the salesperson. You are the accounts receivable. You are the head marketer. You're the CEO. You're everything. And especially if you have someone or people on payroll, that comes with its own weight of having to choose, okay, we're really low this month. I, as a business owner, need to forfeit my salary to pay for my team. Or firing somebody and hiring somebody. Like, those things, they don't teach you because you would have to take every class that they offer to understand finance, HR, marketing, like psychology of dealing with people. And again, that's all stuff that you learn along the way. But, and you and I have had these conversations too, it's talking with other business owners. Like, how do you guys approach this? You know, this is my issue. How would you approach this through phone call or an email with a client? And not being afraid to ask for that guidance and outside opinion is huge, because that I didn't do that at the beginning. And now I fully rely on other people's opinions to help guide us through some of the harder conversations that we have to have both internally and externally.
Yes, definitely. Those conversations are definitely, I think, one of the trickiest parts of entrepreneurship, because you, of course, want to come across as compassionate to your clients and customers, but you also need to run your business. Right. So I think that point leads in perfectly to the next question, which is, if there was one thing you wish you could have done differently, or wish you knew what you knew now, would it be that, what you just said, or something different?
That's a really great question. And I think it changes every year for me. But right now, I think if I had known that in the end, everything always works out, I wouldn't have been so stressed and so upset when, you know, we lost a client. And I would celebrate when we did get a client. And right now, I think I don't really celebrate that we get a client. I get excited, but for me, my mind goes right into like, great, let's get started. What needs to happen to get them rolling? And when we face these challenging moments of a downtime in the economy, or you know, sometimes clients, for their own specific reasons, they don't have the cash flow to be able to invest in marketing, and they have to walk away, and it's sad on both ends of it. But knowing that everything in the end is going to always work out, as long as you have faith in what you do and drive, then you're okay. For me, there was never a plan B. There was never an option to fail. My mind never said, well, if this doesn't work, I'll just go get a full-time job. Like, that doesn't exist in my vocabulary. So even if I lost all my clients tomorrow, I'd be fine, because I know I'd get right back out there and go find more, because there's no plan B for me. This has to work. And I always kept saying that throughout all the years, and that's truly what I believe. So when you have that mentality, it gets you through those really low moments, because entrepreneurship has the highest highs. You'll be rocking on cloud nine, and then within an hour, you could be like rock bottom of the ocean. Yes. And it is such a roller coaster of emotions. But as long as you have a really clear focus of why you're doing it, and how to dig yourself out of that, you'll be totally fine.
Yeah. And I think that's so important to remember, as you said, is that if you continue to have that drive and motivation and determination, then everything is always going to work out in the end. I mean, I always think about that piece of advice you gave me, I think it was actually a few months ago, where you said, nothing is a marketing emergency. And that has stuck to me like months now, because I think just worrying about clients and the work that you're doing and worrying about losing them or doing something wrong or anything along those lines, it's like everything like that is just so small in the grand scheme of things. And if we continue to move forward and remember that we're experts and that we know what we're doing and that we bring so much value to the table, that's what's going to keep us moving forward.
Yep, absolutely. And careful planning too. I mean, when you hear about those crazy emergencies or marketing fails, it's because it was things that were done that weren't planned and weren't really thought through. And when you go into that and you say, we're going to be really proactive in our approach and eliminate the reactive responses that need to happen when things go bad, then you have less of those fire, you know, putting out the fire type of situations. So I truly believe, like, at the end of the day, everyone works to live. Entrepreneurship, you truly have to love what you do. And that's what we put in our mission, that we only work with companies that really are passionate about what they do. It is really hard to work with businesses and owners that are just doing this because it was a hand-me-down business, or just because it's a good financial business. We want somebody that is so passionate that it's contagious. And that's where we do our best work.
Yes, absolutely. The next question I'd like to ask you is, why do you think it's so important for individuals to start a business at a young age? Because as I'm sure you know, as you mentioned with yourself, there was never a plan B. But for a lot of people, they kind of have that internal conflict where they're like, well, I really want to go off and do my own thing, but I need to please others and have a stable income, and therefore I need to take the corporate route. So what do you think is the most important part of being able to start a business at a young age, and why people should do it regardless of how old they are?
Yeah, great question. I think always having realistic expectations is huge, and going into it with your eyes wide open of, when you just graduate, you don't have a salary to turn down. I think that's what made it really easy for me to jump into entrepreneurship. One, because the job market was so bad. But the other is, I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have kids. Wasn't married yet at the time. My rent was really low. My car payment was really low. There was no big bills that were weighing over me. I was still under my parents', you know, health insurance. So I didn't have to choose between turning down a really nice salary in order to jump into this. So that made a decision really different. Now, if I was right now where I have a mortgage, I have kids, I have a family, I have big bills coming in, and I had a really good salary coming in, it would be a really hard decision for me to turn that paycheck away and jump into something that is very uncertain. So I think the benefit of jumping in when you're younger is you don't have that level of responsibility. You don't have that level of financial, burden. So I would usually work nights, at Pier One and do all the closings so that during the day, I'd be working my business. So I would literally be working from like 7 to 10, throughout the week. I never saw my husband, because he was asleep by the time I got home. But I had to do that so that I could still maintain, you know, and pay the bills that I did have coming in. But I knew my lifetime dream wasn't to be a Pier One manager. I did this so I could pay my bills, but I also hustled like crazy during the day to build my business. And when my business could financially support me, that's when I quit my Pier One job and jumped full shift into my business. And that was the most successful year because obviously I could spend 50 plus hours just building that.
Yes, definitely. And there's absolutely no shame in wanting to have another job or needing another job in order to be able to support your dream. And sometimes right. That's the smartest move. Like, as you mentioned, being able to find that Pier One job where you were able to kind of work around your schedule so that you were working on your business during the day, but working at Pier One at night to be able to bring in that extra money for bills and be able to supplement what's coming in. I mean, I did something similar. I had a job at a coffee shop and I actually worked at 4:30 in the morning because I get out by 11 a.m. and that's kind of still prime time for going to school and working on my business. And so being able to make those sacrifices where we're still able to bring in additional income, but also find that time to continue working on our dreams and continue moving forward is so important.
It absolutely is. And when I first started the business, I wanted to focus on event marketing. And so the reason why I jumped into Pier One was because I felt I could learn a lot from a design perspective and how to apply some of the design things that they do there towards events. So that was learning in itself. Management, coming right out of school, I've never managed people. So that I learned, you know, right away was how to manage people. So your mindset has to change into like, oh, I have to work in order to pay the bills so I can run a business. It's what part-time job can you do that's going to help give you the skills in order to apply that to your own business? And there was a book, it was like How to Get Control Over Your Life. And one of the things that she had recommended was like somebody wanted to own their own wine shop. And so she said, go work part-time at a wine shop. Go understand what it's like. What do you like? What don't you like? And some people decided it was for them and went off and started a wine shop. And other people were like, actually, this isn't what I thought it would be, and didn't do it. So when you're young, you have the ability to learn and fail really quickly and fast and rebound. When you have a family that relies on you, me personally, I think it would be much harder for me to accept failure and keep trying and trying when I know there's a financial burden as a part of that.
Yes, exactly. And as you mentioned earlier, when you're young, I mean, one of the biggest parts about it is the fact that you don't have that huge overhead hanging over you of the things that you need to pay for and things you're responsible for. That was actually something that a few people had said to me was like, well, it's actually a good thing that you're starting a business in college, because if it doesn't work out, then it really doesn't affect you because you can graduate and still move into the corporate world and move on as normal without kind of having like the struggles or anything like that. So I think that the part about you mentioning that too is really great, because we don't really have those things that are tying us down that would be stopping us from doing so maybe 10 or 15 years down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I wish I started it when I was in college, but I didn't know. Nobody talked about it. Nobody encouraged entrepreneurship. Now there's so many different, even there's a major in entrepreneurship, which I don't even know what they talk about in it, but that wasn't a thing. That wasn't really an option. So I think it's more of, if there's something that you really want to do and it's not out there, then it's your job to create that lifestyle or that job. And I think Will Smith had posted an awesome like motivational thing that was, nobody is in charge of your happiness except for you. If you're not happy, it's up to you to change it. And I always, even my five-year-old, when he's not happy, I said, it's not my responsibility to make you happy. It's your responsibility to put yourself in situations that make you happy and for you to find something that you like playing with that makes you happy. And if that works for a kid, it absolutely should work for an adult. If there's something that's not making you happy, it's your right to make it change. And that's really what entrepreneurship is, right? Like, there's a need and you're there to solve it. Your lifestyle, maybe working 9 to 5, is, and you hate it. And in order to make you happy, you have to change what you're doing. So I always keep thinking about that when there's something that doesn't sit right with me.
Yes, I think that's amazing advice, which actually ends up tying into our next question, which is, what's the last piece of advice you'd like to leave with our listeners for someone who may be just starting?
There's so many. There's so many. My parents always said to me that regardless of somebody's title, they all put their pants on the same way. And that has helped me so much in my own confidence. When I go into, a meeting, or when I do presentations, I always remember that it doesn't matter if these are all, you know, billionaires in the room. They all put their pants on the same way, and they most likely tripped on their socks getting their pants on, just like me. And when you realize that at the end of the day, regardless of people's titles or their, you know, wealth, they're just people, you can find that common ground. And now, like, I have a son and a daughter, and I'll come home and I'll say, today, mommy did something that I'm so proud of, which is, you know, I stood in front of a boardroom where I was the only girl in that entire room, and I told people what I thought, and they had to listen to me. And I don't honestly think they understood it now, but I hope, right. You know, my daughter, especially years from now, will realize, like, when you stand up in a room and you are the only female and you are probably 20 years younger than everybody else, and they're looking to you for your counsel, like, that is an amazing feeling. It's very empowering. And so those are kind of the wins. But the only way I'm able to do that is because in my head, I always think, well, it doesn't really matter what your title is. It doesn't really matter how successful you tell me your business is. At the end of the day, you're a person and you have issues just like everybody else. And that's what allows me to kind of keep going into those harder situations.
Yes, absolutely. It's really all about perspective and just kind of remembering that, as you said, we're all human. I remember one of my first clients said one of the reasons why she hired me was because I was less than half her age and I knew more than she did. And so it's stuff like that, when moments like that come up, like as you mentioned, with you standing in the boardroom full of all men, sharing your ideas and your thoughts, regardless of what their titles are or what their salaries are, you went up and did it. And just kind of having that perspective and courage and strength to actually do that and have that positive mindset throughout it all, which is really incredible.
Yeah, it is. And again, that's something that you learn along the way. And I truly believe, like, there is a fine line between being really confident and being arrogant. And understanding what that line is going to do you wonders. So knowing that there's nobody that's the smartest in the room, everybody's really good at different areas of what they do. And being able to say, like, you know, I don't know that answer. Or marketing, there's a million different ways of how you could tell somebody's story. You and I have different ideas of how we tell somebody's story. Not one is better than the other. And being able to listen to that feedback and have an honest conversation and defend why you think it's your solution's the best, but also logically hearing somebody else's solution, that's where confidence steps apart from just being arrogant, thinking that your ideas are the only ones and everyone else is kind of coming secondary. That's when you're going to fail, and fail in the sense of losing people's respect, of that kind of dual roles, if you will.
Yes, definitely. Well, Alicia, tell our listeners where they can find you online after listening to this episode.
Yeah, definitely. So we have our new site just launched, Aliste Marketing, A-L-I-S-T-E marketing.com. We have a ton of great resources and blogs that are published every month on there to kind of help you navigate entrepreneurship. We do a lot of focus on how to really build your brand, all for free on our site that you can check out. And you can also visit us on any of the social media channels, which is Aliste Marketing as our handle. But please reach out if you have any questions or just need a little guidance or encouragement along the way. Those are kind of the fun conversations that we have with students.
Awesome. And I'll be putting links to your website and social media handles in the show notes as well. So that way, if anyone missed those, they'll be able to grab them and connect with you further.
Great. Well, Ashley, you're doing an amazing job and empowering students regardless of their age and background and location is huge. Entrepreneurship brings out some really great ideas and businesses. So I think it's amazing. So keep doing what you're doing.
Awesome. Thank you, Alicia. And thanks so much for coming on the show.
Of course. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love it if you could subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with those who could use it most. For show notes and more information, go to studenttoceo.com/podcast.